If you can project just a little bit more, I think you can make it from
really?
There.
Okay, okay. But I can also just probably come in here as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and then I'll just adjust you
we
guys from there.
We are the world.
There comes a time.
We are the world.
This is
So let's start living. Let's start living.
There's a choice we're making.
It's true.
We're saving our own lives.
It's true, we'll make a better day, just you and me.
You and me.
Okay,
alright, I think we're done. We've got everything
and,
you need.
And that is going to be our opener.
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hi, I'm Matt.
First we'll have a little chat,
then put on our improvers.
Now it's time for Next at Bat.
And we're here today with the away team. Hi, away team.
Hello.
Hi.
Eric.
Hello.
Away team, would you care to introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name is Drew Kirsten, and I'm a member of the away team.
Hi, I'm Molly Chase.
I'm Eric Heiberg.
I'm Ellen Jaquette.
My name is Dan Jaquette.
I'm Sean Dillon.
And who couldn't be here today?
Cliff.
Zawaski. Is that how you say his last name?
See, I
nobody knows.
I didn't know how to say his last name. I was going to introduce him for you, but I didn't know how to say his
last
name.
Guys, can we just shorten Cliff's name to Clifton Z? Just Cliff Z.
Cliff Z.
How about Cliffy Z?
Cool. Cliffy Z, yo.
All right. And Cliffy Z couldn't make it today.
True.
Right. And as always, I'm here today with
Philip Simondet, and I am a member of Next at Bat.
Yay!
And your host is
Matt McLeod, and I'm the other member of Next at Bat.
I was following Drew's lead because nobody else did.
I'd like to thank you for that, for not dropping that.
That's called support.
By the time it came to me, it was more. There was more not doing that.
It's
than
true.
Doing
no,
that.
It was a thing.
So he was supporting that choice.
Yeah.
Right.
So Molly screwed.
Absolutely.
Does the second line set the scene, or does the third?
Second.
Ooh.
Eric.
I set the scene. And none of you sons of bitches will forget that.
Okay.
Saturday nights at 10:30.
Love it. So this group was formed because you are all from different places and moved to the Twin Cities recently, and the whole idea was to kind of take the schooling that you have done in different places and kind of throw it all together in the same room and see what happens.
I mean, I'd say that's basically it. I think the major thing for me, as I'd seen with Throwback Night, that those auditions had brought in performers from places that I'd never seen anywhere else.
Right.
And part of me was worried that they would just drift away after Throwback Night was done. And I thought, well, I'm not from here, and there are other people who are not from here, so let's make a team. And I was very apologetic about it and very timid and worried that everybody would say no. And
very
that
Minnesotan.
Was, I guess I right. was. I mean, I may be Southern about it. But anyway, it worked out really well.
Excellent.
Yeah, at first it was more of a, it wasn't even a group originally.
Mm-hmm.
It was
study
more just
group.
Like, hey, let's yeah. just, let's do 6 weeks and jam with each other and that, that. And then we can all forget about each other afterwards.
That was my plan. Actually, what I really thought would happen is that groups would form out of the away
sure.
team, that people would find each other and be like, oh, you know, we have a great, you know, thing that we can do together.
Mm-hmm.
You are also interested in this thing that I learned in my hometown. But what ended up happening is we all liked each other so much and we had a lot of fun playing. And then we had the real incredibly good fortune of getting an Improv A Go-Go slot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really helped too.
So how did you find like your different styles? You know, you studied under, you know, very different perspectives. How did you find that those meshed? Did you find any places where it kind of clashed, or how did it work out?
Well, I think we're still figuring that out.
Okay.
We just, right. Yeah, just honestly, what I really like and what I look forward to in the away team is I look forward to like seeing what everybody brings to the table in full force, and we see glimpses of that right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, like as we go, we're like, oh wow, shit! Like I find stuff new all the time. Like, wow, Sean and Dan really work really well together in silent scenes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Drew's crazy freaking supportive, especially in a group scene. And if you want somebody to bring you out in a group scene, Drew's the guy who's got the premise for that. You know, I mean, like these kind of things. Clifton's going to play a really great straight man. And then Molly and then Ellen. I just realized I was going to leave him out, and I thought I might as well just go big. You know?
They bake great things. They clean up after us really well.
Sometimes they're sandwiches.
Talking too long, yeah. And just like, and then Molly and to be fair, I left myself out too. So.
This is officially a habit of Eric's. In our last show, he name checked every single city in a single yes. line, except for Kentucky, where I moved from. Louisville, Kentucky, where I moved
from. Drew's still hurting about that.
I am still hurting.
Kentucky knows what it did.
to go back to your question, I agree with Eric. I still think that we're figuring out. I think what the fun thing is about having people from different areas all come together with is that we all sort of have the same mentality, like, oh, we all know different stuff, let's play around, and we have a really kind of fun and accepting attitude about people's different ideas, and we enjoy seeing how even things, little things like warm-ups, I think we get a kick out of seeing how we do stuff differently, so it's a very playful atmosphere.
Yeah. We've had many times where someone's described, gotten three quarters of the way describing a warm-up, and we're like, oh, and then each of us chimes in with a different name that we all call that exact same thing.
That's true. Yeah, it's so funny.
With so many different backgrounds and several years of improv experience between the lot of you, how did you decide what you were going to ultimately do? I'm sure that that's still in progress, but with that.
We all just laugh because it's very much in progress. I think the guiding idea we went into to figure out a form was like, let's have a form that doesn't serve us. Or that does serve us, and we don't serve the form.
And then so we got a form that totally doesn't serve us.
And then we screwed ourselves because we got our first show. We got a little in our heads about the form, which does. It's like, hey, do three scenes, and then maybe make some connections later. And like that's it. But it still was like, I think for me anyway. And we got a little too obsessed with it.
Dan's kidding. We've got this all figured out. Saturdays at 10:30.
You know, some of the things that I think one of the main things that I think we found about all of us is that because we've all done improv for a while, and some places, and some of us have done a lot of improv in our respective places, I think all of us have. When somebody has a thing like, here, this is something we should correct on, we're really good at correcting the shit out of that thing. So much that we'll overcorrect, like, oh, okay, yeah. dial it back, because all of us are like, got it, we're on the team, here we go. And then we all start to chime in or to contribute to the same exact correction. So it's like there's some finesse in there. So. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any examples of that happening? Like, can you think of any times?
Our first improv go-go show.
Okay.
And that really doesn't tell them anything.
No. Well, go watch the video, y'all. No,
I remember that one because I wasn't at that show, and the correction was make sure Drew's in the show.
Right.
And then we
corrected the shit out of that. Yeah.
Saturdays at 10:30. Okay.
I think the suggestion, I don't remember what the suggestion was, but the suggestion, I don't know, let's just say that it was tomato, and like it was like a million different scenes are all about tomatoes. There was a bank robbery thing that kept going, and we're like, no, everybody, there's like every third scene was another bank robbery scene, but that joke had been played and been beaten, you know. So then we overcorrected for that.
We've done it a few times. I remember there was a practice where we were like, let's focus on, you know, just two-person scenes. Yeah. And then we wound up just doing all of that for a set. And then there was no connection, no creation of a world, which is something we also like. So I think we're just so used to playing with each other that any sort of structure, it takes us a while to get used to. Like, oh, we're not just, you know, fucking around. So that's been a learning experience.
Do you find it at all difficult with, you know, I mean, there's seven of you on the team. Mm-hmm. You all have a lot of experience. You're all very creative. You're all very high energy.
Do you find it
difficult with so many minds going, so many feet moving that to let things breathe? Or do you share space well?
I mean, go ahead, Dan.
No, please.
Question answered.
Somebody has a...
I think we do a really good job. I mean, Eric talks a lot. But other than that, we do a great job. No, I do think there was a while where at the very beginning we were like more officially rotating, like, okay, someone's in charge of this practice session for the first half or whatever, and like just bring an idea, and it didn't have to be that well formed. but like bring an idea and we'll play with it. And they sort of guided it, but we're still involved. Mm-hmm. And that was really good to sort of trade off and see what everybody was bringing and also be able to bring your own thing to it and work on that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever been a problem that there have been so many people with a lot of strengths. I think the major thing is figuring out what those strengths are. So, for example, Ellen is really amazing at always going out there and being available to be first in a scene. And mm-hmm. also, you can leave her out there as long as you want, and she will never run out of amazing things to do. And so being able to have that kind of comfort level of, oh, I'm just going to hang out and let Ellen do this thing, and then I'll join the scene, and mm-hmm. just knowing that about each other, I think has been a really fun kind of development.
Thanks, Molly. I appreciate that. I like it when you guys don't come out. But I don't have to improvise. Just kidding.
Yeah, you guys mentioned world creation mm-hmm. as something that you do and do well. A lot of improvisers actually tend to struggle with that. They focus on relationships, but not necessarily the world around them. How is that part of your? I'm not wording this well. How do you tend towards that? How do you make that a priority? I guess whatever.
So I just told everyone nonverbally to shut the fuck up so I can answer this question. I think what we're getting at when we say world creation is if something exists in this world, it exists in all of the scenes. What we're not trying to do is tell a narrative.
Right.
So I think that's what makes it easier for us. We're still just trying to do good individual scenes that may be two people connecting and sharing something, or it might be two people quickly finding a game and playing it. Mm-hmm. But we're not putting the burden on ourselves to try to tell a story, mm-hmm. Which oftentimes when you're creating a world, you're both creating a world and trying to tell a story. And that can be, for me, that can be a lot harder.
Yeah, and then in some scenes, it exists in the same universe, but it might not be obvious to the audience. There might be mm-hmm. no mention of it, mm-hmm. but in the back of your head, you're saying, okay, I'm living in a world where...
Trees talk,
that's always the example, right? For us, anyway. And so maybe there's no trees in that scene at all, but still you know you're in that world, and that affects the other things that happen to a minor degree.
Mm-hmm. And how did you all get... I mean, did you all come from like the various schools that you came from, did they focus on world creation in that kind of way, or did you all agree on that, or how did you come to this as a strength?
Did we come to that?
Well, I mean, I can think of a couple of things. You know, for me, for example, back in Atlanta, I did a lot of genre narrative. That's almost exclusively what I did in terms mm-hmm. of long form. So we did westerns and action movies. And then when I moved to Minneapolis, there was a lot of genre narrative long form. So I did that. And so getting together with the Away team, with a group that was like, no, actually, I'm not sure I love genre narrative. I was like, what? And so it was so
free. What was that? I think it was... I don't think we're good at genre narrative.
Well, for me, honestly, Austin is a huge genre narrative.
Really?
And oh my God, pretty much everything that I like, I would say probably a good 70% of everything I've done has been genre narrative.
Wow.
You know, probably some 70s cop stuff to a John Hughes thing. That was an interesting story about that. But yeah, a whole bunch of different things. But I'm not really all that down with genre narrative as much as I am with stuff that's just more character based. I love mono scenes, man. I'm a nut for those things. Mm. But
Well, we're not doing any of that.
I know. So, why do you think I'm shutting up?
Keep that to your damn self.
Awkward.
Those like mono character scenes, right? Where there's just one person out there.
No. You mean like an Ellen Jaquette scene?
Yeah.
The specific thing that I think guided us in that direction was when in front of this Saturday slot, we employed a coach and have continued to. Mike Fotis.
Okay.
And that was something he noticed that he that was a strength of ours. So he suggested we move in that direction. Mm.
So up until that point, you hadn't worked with a coach. You've just kind of mm-hmm. been coaching yourselves.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I would say almost every practice session we had was like a mini workshop where we just brought something new. So to go from that to realizing we have a show that we really want to prepare for and we would love an outside eye, having Mike Fotis do that has been really helpful. And
yeah, I should notate that almost everybody in the group has taught or coached in mm-hmm. some way before. Right. So it's not like we were a new group who was...
Right.
I highly recommend everyone use coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Always be closing.
Yeah, so it was a big jump in the style of our practice from sort of self-run workshops to an actual coach where we've been getting a lot more personal feedback now, which is not something we gave each other before. It was more like, hey, let's try this. Okay, what does this work on for all of us all together? Mm. And now it's like, you need to do this more.
Yeah, Mike Fotis just basically screams at me for half an hour, and then he addresses everybody else, and he goes, why do you have that guy in your group?
But I think it's important for people, because I was thinking about it on the drive over here, because I had a set this morning that went okay, but I did some things that I know as an improviser not to do. And I was thinking about how, everybody starts out somewhere and everybody's trying to work on something.
Right.
And I remember there was a moment where Butch mentioned that Lauren Anderson was in his 101 class.
Yeah.
I was like, she was in 101 ever? Like, it's really hard at a certain point. And so the fact that I'm not as far down the road as I'd like to be, I mean, that's a really long trip. So I'm feeling... So I think it's kind of important to talk about the things that you're working on.
Yeah.
So other people know that you're working. Everybody's working.
And honestly, I feel like a lot of new troops and just a lot of new improvisers will start off immediately with like, oh, let's not do this, let's not do that. When I first started doing improv, there was like a whole list of somebody had given us a whole list of things that you shouldn't do, and I thought, I got it. As long as we don't do all of these things, we'll have a good scene. Man, what an idiot, right? You know. Like, and the thing is, like, there's all these wonderful things where you find something internally in you that winds up being a positive that you're like, you know, right. What? I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to think about this as. Just me and a bunch of friends all playing together and all trying to delight each other. And maybe that right. Everything else winds up falling into place beyond that. Or maybe it's something where, like, I'm just going to imagine every time I look at Molly that she's in a gorilla suit. And that's going to make everything happen. But, you know, like, it should be a lot of exploration, like, within ourselves so that the improv becomes easy and fun and doesn't look like effort. Effort is ugly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sort of playing off of what Jill Bernard says, the... what you bring is enough, always, sort of thing.
That's not nice. True. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, maybe what Jill brings is enough. True. Christ.
Yeah. By the way, Drew is absolutely my favorite person to pick on in the away team because he's so good and he's such a nice guy. We're actually having a barbecue afterwards in Drew's honor afterwards. So I feel like there's anybody I can throw... unrealistic punches at. It's going to
be. I mean, he's dead.
Yeah, no.
We're going to slaughter him.
He did pay for that.
Yeah, he did pay for that.
It was part of a huge hangout auction, and I was attempting to bid up the price of our own. And much like a fantasy football auction, sometimes you end up owning a guy you didn't want. But I wanted this one. I wanted it.
Right.
So currently, you guys are. On at Huge Theater in Uptown Minneapolis at what time?
10:30 on Saturday nights.
And
through October.
And through October, cool. And do you have any other plans beyond that, or are you just focusing on this run currently?
Yeah, we've talked about some other things beyond that.
We're gonna do it until we get it right.
We've been talking a lot about the idea of using... somehow try to use the away team to get more people involved in the community.
Back to Molly's original idea. This wasn't originally supposed to be a team. It became a team because we like each other and play well together. But the idea of having some sort of outreach where it's a welcoming committee for people who are moving to the city. Because we realized after we did this that there's lots of people who we didn't even know.
Yes, and that, by the way, is the downfall of telling everyone the premise behind which you start a group is that you're chatting with someone at a party and they're like, you know, I'm not from Minneapolis. Oh no. So I think the more that we've done this, the more it's been clear that there are a lot of people who have moved to Minneapolis from other places who, you know, by all rights, could easily be part of the OA team.
Sure.
But if anyone out there is new to town, you know, come find us and say hi and tell us and. We'll encourage you and stuff.
Yes. I really just like
we encourage each other.
But I really like the idea of the away team facilitating opportunities for improvisers to feel more comfortable in the community, whether they've been here for, you know, 10 years in the cities or less than one. So hopefully that's down the road. Right, guys?
Yeah. Absolutely. Ooh. No, yes.
And this is a bad segue, but this is something that I'm curious about before we end the interview. I'm wondering, what are your plans for your form on stage? Like, are you going to keep as a montage that's like really group based, or do you have ideas for what you're going to be?
I think our idea right now, we've actually been told that we just need to stop thinking about our damn form.
Yeah. That's so funny. I was going to say, shut up, Matt.
So I think our immediate plan is to really try not to think too much about it and just, you know, kind of hang loose a little bit and let it organically figure itself out.
Okay.
Because we really have been overthinking it a little bit.
Yeah. Cool. All right, well, now's the time in the show where I throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for our brand new segment that we call the Philip's Corner.
It's Philip's Corner! Woo.
Boom!
Wow, that's not music.
Yeah. This is Philip's Corner. Welcome. This is the part of the show where I make Matt feel better about all the questions he didn't feel okay about by staring at you awkwardly and asking way worse questions than you ever would.
Philip, thank you for that.
You're welcome. I'm just here to make you look prettier.
Oh. Hi, Philip.
Do you think that you can run faster than a goat?
I can answer that question based on experience, Philip. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. In my youth, I lived in Texas. And my mom was friends with a lady who was dating a rancher. So I actually got to go out and help shear goats one day. And you have to capture the goat. Maybe capture is not the right word. Get the goat and take it down. And then the guys would come over and shear it. And sometimes I could catch goats and sometimes I couldn't. So
interesting.
Was that because they were... Could you not get them because they ran faster than you? Or because they were more agile and they like... ducked out of the way.
Mm. Or were some of them super cute and you just didn't want to catch them?
That's a good question.
These are all fair questions. Also, the elephant in the room is that I was probably in sixth grade then, and I might have been faster and more agile than
you are now.
Yeah. Than the hefty current older version of myself.
Bigger legs are longer.
That's true. True.
And those goat's legs are the same size.
So at that time, I could sometimes catch goats. Now, in a straight foot race,
yeah,
like on a track,
sure, right,
we're going to run like a 100-yard dash.
Right.
Well, in a 100-yard dash, I would beat a goat because I think a goat would tire.
Yeah.
But in a straight 40, like if this is NFL Combine in Indianapolis, we're going 40 yards, I think the goat wins.
I kind of want to go back, though. In a 100-yard dash, are you saying you wouldn't tire?
Not as much as a goat.
He's I feel like a goat would tire out.
I mean,
yeah.
The greater the distance. You're doing a half marathon or something, you got it all over
there. That's
a
good point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I just feel like the goat wouldn't get so tired as it would get distracted. I just don't feel like it would have the same commitment to the race as you.
No, that's fair.
What if you dangled a carrot?
Or it's a question of motivation. Yeah.
No, like a tin can. That's what goats eat.
Well, keep in mind, you're not running in separate lanes with the goat. You're chasing the goat, and that's
sure.
its motivation to keep going.
Well, if you're chasing it, it's definitely going to win. It's ahead of you.
Yeah.
Unless I catch it.
But what if the goat
it's like Zeno's
you?
Paradox
what
here.
It's
terrible.
So it's like goat tag. You just have to tag.
You're saying the goat either wins the race or we tie because I tackle it.
Yeah.
Well, can we make it
in
flag
sense,
football just because the goat could be really cute, in which case you wouldn't want to tackle it.
Yeah. I was recently in the Miracle of Life barn at the State Fair,
mm-hmm.
and there were some cute goats there. Are they still called goats when they're babies?
Would you have
some
tackled baby? Those
kids.
Goats?
They're kids.
Kids.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
That's cute.
Well, yeah, to be fair, those I definitely could have caught and tackled.
Molly. What's your favorite Winnie the Pooh character and why?
This is a very challenging question. Growing up, I disliked Tigger actively. I felt he had too much energy. And I really navigated more towards Eeyore, which probably explains why I was going through an existential crisis at like 7. But no, I always liked Eeyore. I thought Eeyore would be pretty cool to hang out with.
I'm an Eeyore guy.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Tigger. I mean Eric.
What did you say about Tigger and Molly? Like, is my Tigger absolutely obnoxious?
Yeah.
That one bites Tigger. I think at some point Tigger has been Tigger before. So.
I mean Eric.
Whatever, you screwed me, Simondet. You screwed me.
Are you good with tools?
Huh? No.
All right.
Next question. No. My dad was always really good at. He always seemed to know how to fix things. My first car, as an example, it didn't run. First two cars I had didn't run. I had to get them running. But I wasn't good at it. I just
running.
Huh?
Did they get running though?
Eventually. Yeah, but no, just wasn't good at it. Was not. I was something I always wished that I was better at. You know, around the house and what have you. But I'm not handy. Not handy. Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
Thank
you.
It's okay.
It's not your fault.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom and cry now.
It's okay.
It's a really nice bathroom.
2 for 3 so far.
Thanks for keeping score. Ellen.
Hi, Philip.
What was your first car?
My first car was a Geo Prism. It was white. It had over 100,000 miles on it. And the fun fact about this, I was like 17 when I got this car.
That was my follow-up question.
Yeah. The fun fact about this is that the interior door handles, all of them fell off except mine, except the driver's. So all my friends could get in, but they couldn't get out of my car.
It was like a police car. It's great.
And when I think about it, that's actually super dangerous. Like if I got in an accident, like no one could get out of the car, but I would always have to come and let people out. It was pretty like
good. Ellen didn't pretty actually nasty. Have any friends in high school.
I she just had people like,
hey, you want to ride
in your car? Yeah.
We're going to Chili's to celebrate my birthday.
That's exactly what I did.
I'm kidding.
That's exactly. Dan.
Hi, Philip.
When you're chilly, what is the favorite article of clothing to keep you warm, and or do you just turn up the heat?
I generally do not turn up the heat because I am a frugal man. My favorite article of clothing is probably my red flannel, which now has a hole in the elbow, and so I can't really wear it as much because then my elbow gets cold.
Right.
So I have other flannels that come in like second place. But they're not as good as that red one. It just fits really well. I got it at Target probably 4 or 5 years ago. I was living in Madison, Wisconsin at the time. And I had a good friend in library school who was cool.
Did you say library school?
Yeah, I have a master's in library studies. Oh, okay. No big deal. So my friend was cool, and he wore flannels. So I said, I want to be cool too. I'm going to buy some flannels. So I went to Target, and I bought 2 flannels. One was this red one that was, I believe, the Target brand, or maybe Massimo, which is kind of like Target brand now, right? You can't buy Massimo anywhere else.
Really?
Well, yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Wow. I wore Massimo shirts when I was in junior high school, and that was
yeah, like because cool those were awesome at the time.
Yeah. And now I'm still wearing them, but they're not cool anymore. Yeah. And the other flannel was some other brand, and that one's still going. It's a little thicker, but I don't like it as much. The pattern's less classic. Like, as the red, I feel like the red and black and the green and black are the 2 classic flannel colors.
You can cut them off at any time.
My green one is very thick.
More. Keep going.
My green one is the thickest flannel I own. I have it in the car today because I thought maybe I would get cold.
Sure.
But it's very comfortable in here, Matt. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And so I don't wear the green one as much because it feels almost like a light sweatshirt.
If you're thinking there's an end point, there really isn't. We've done some research into
this. Let him talk. I want to hear about the flannel.
Oh, I've had Will Roberts on here.
It was, I believe, 14 minutes about roller coasters.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Can I just say also, I think second place flannel ought to be the name of something.
Yes.
Yes.
And it should probably be an improv group.
Yes.
It would be the name of that goat after I beat him.
And coming down the aisle is second place flannel.
And also, I'm the last person in this group who's ever going to look at somebody else and go, stop talking. Last person.
Sean.
Hi, Philip.
Hi. Did you ever go through like a phase in your childhood with like clothing that you're embarrassed about now?
Okay, you know what? No, I'm going to take a stand. I was not the least bit embarrassed. I wore like sweatpants right into junior high, and that only changed when I started getting pantsed in the hallways. But I have no regret. You know, I was wearing Zubas after they ceased to be okay. Like aqua socks, the hypercolor t-shirts. I was running those things out because I thought they were great and I loved them and I am not mildly embarrassed about it.
I loved aqua socks.
Yeah, man. I don't even quite know how to describe them. They were meant to be like worn when you were boating or whatever, and they were sort of like land water shoes.
Yeah, they're like a meshy, stretchy. Yeah.
But they start smelling terrible.
But they were tight around the.
Yeah. I had like a rubber sole. They're kind of like those
Crocs?
Toe shoes.
They're like the finger shoes, but without the fingers. Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of a meshy top.
Right.
And to not allow sand in.
How do you spell this? Office socks.
Aqua socks.
Aqua socks. Okay. I was like, office socks. What is that?
Yeah, they're perfect.
Another
name
for.
Can I try? Translate this into Texan.
Yeah.
You know when you go up to the hill country to go tubing in the river and you normally wear your old pair of lawn mowing shoes? Well, they invented some socks you could wear instead of them lawn mowing shoes.
Shit. Yep. All right, got it. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank all of you. That has been Phillip's Corner.
Yay! You guys want to do some improv?
Yeah.
Next up, Pats!
I don't know where I put the keys.
Mom, don't worry about it. Seriously, we don't have to go to church today. I'm actually really cool with not
Mom,
going to church.
Yeah, Mom, that sounds great that you don't know that.
Yeah.
No, you don't understand. I can't find any of our keys.
It's fine, hon. We just won't leave the house again.
We'll just stay here. I call dibs on basement.
Okay, fine. Saturday morning cartoons in the basement.
Yeah, I'm going to go make some eggs. We'll just stay here for a while.
It's just that there's the lock on the fridge.
Oh.
Hey, Mom, the TV's locked. Basement TV's locked.
It's for security. It's for our own protection. I'm really sorry, kids. We just have to find the keys.
I'll go look in the treasure chest upstairs.
I'll go with you, Dad.
Mom, I couldn't get out of the bathroom. Mom!
We're looking for the keys, bud.
Oh, I got it.
Hey, hon, do you have the key to the treasure chest? Hey, hon?
I don't have that key. I don't have any of the keys.
We're going to have to jimmy this lock, Jimmy.
I'm with you, Dad. Let me go get the key to the lock picks. I'll be right
back.
Yeah,
get the key to the lock picks.
Go find the lock
picks. Ask your mom if you can't find it.
Mom? Mom?
Yeah, honey?
I can't seem to find the key to the lock picks. We need to open up the thing so we can open the treasure chest so we can get the key for that so we can go down and open up the bathroom so we can get Tom out and so that Tom can go ahead and get the key to go and open up the basement, which has the TV set, which is also unlocked.
Oh, well, you look at that. They were in my purse the whole time.
I see you were enjoying our video and the benefits of AAA membership.
Yeah, it's thrilling. Oh, who edited this?
Oh, the guys at corporate do a real nice job.
They are professionals technically, but they should do more. Do you think they can do my bar mitzvah? My son's bar mitzvah.
I would say no, but...
Mine's already in the past, so too late, guys. You missed a golden opportunity. But my son is having... Would you talk to them?
The guys at corporate?
Yeah.
I wouldn't dream of it.
They use a lot of star wipes, and I think that is fantastic.
It's just that... They put what they call the wall between us down in the branches.
What?
We're not really supposed to talk about the wall, but...
There's a class system?
Yeah.
You're just the peon that shows the video. You don't get to talk to the geniuses that edit the video?
I wish it was just a class system. It's more of a caste system like India.
Oh.
I was born into the wrong family to ever advance in this... community organization.
Well, you should have just been born into a better family.
If I could go back and change my genetics, I would.
Well, I guess you missed that golden opportunity.
Yeah, anyway, I'm going to snap that passport photo for you, but if it's a little off kilter, it's because I'm crying, thinking about my grandma never able to get a job as a teacher like she wanted to.
Well, should have tried harder, I guess. Cheese.
Okay, fellas, do you feel secure?
We're really high up. I don't know if I'm ever going to feel secure this high up.
Do you feel secure as much as you can feel secure at this height? Let's put it that way. Rephrase.
Yeah, okay. That's probably fair. I am never going to feel more secure than I do right now.
Yeah, that's what I...
Oh my god, that's a bird.
It's a bird. They do that. They fly around.
You mean they might do that again?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to bungee jump anymore. I'm not.
And you know, once you get down with this bungee, there's not going to be as many birds. Think about it that way. Once you actually jump, all these birds, they're going to stay up here, and you're just going to get closer and closer to those rocks. Do you see those rocks? Do you see any birds on the rocks?
Lloyd, you didn't tell me there'd be rocks. Oh, come on, Lloyd. Worst birthday ever.
Oh, this is going to be great. You're going to look back on this, and you are going to be so glad.
Hey, Margaret. Hey, listen. Yeah. Corporate said went in and brought up the cake for the birthday boy, so we're gonna sing the birthday song.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Before you go off, we're gonna. Yeah. Here's your cake. Just go ahead and here, take this.
Oh, here you go. Thank you. Wait. I can read. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Whoa. Sir, I'm sorry, but I. This is my final resignation. I'm going to give you my 2 weeks' notice.
It can't be, Daryl. It can't be true.
I'm sorry. I've served the Grissom family for a very long time, but I feel it is time for me to move on.
Were we not kind enough to you?
No.
Did we not treat you with respect that a servant deserves?
Master Grissom, absolutely.
I got here as soon as I could. Did I hear something about Daryl leaving us?
Daryl is turning in his 2 weeks' notice.
2 weeks? After all these years...
Lord Chaste, I apologize, but I must absolutely leave. I've found my calling.
40 years, Daryl. 40 years you've been employed with us.
What kind of calling must you have found at this point in your life?
You can't teach an old dog new tricks.
And you, sir, are an old dog.
Sir, I know that I am a very good butler. I know that I've been...
The best butler, Daryl.
Thank you very much, but your flattery cannot keep me here. I'm afraid that... I have found my calling in interpretive dance. Interpretive bungee dance.
Interpretive bungee dance?
Yes.
Inbondan. Is that the Inbondan I've been hearing so much about?
You have subscribed to Inbondan.
It is a great and rich and cultured sport / dance that I've learned.
Surely you could do it off our parapets. Are they not high enough?
Sir.
We could make allowances, Daryl. We could make allowances here. We could build a Inbundan platform.
You would make an Inbundan platform for me,
Of
sir?
Course we would, Daryl.
Of course, you're the best butler we've ever had.
40 years.
Master Grissom, Master Chaste, I'm so sorry. I should have come to you first. Unfortunately, the papers are already in. If I had only known that we could have perhaps... done some Inbundan platform right off the top spindle. I apologize so much, sir. And now I feel ashamed. Now I feel like there is no other choice for me but to retire.
Oh. Retire from buttling?
From buttling, yes, sir. No more buttling for me, sir.
Unheard of. Lord Chaste.
He could have stayed here and he could have butt-inbundaned.
You could have butt-bundaned here.
Well, it's too late for me, sir, but if you are interested, I suggest you do make that Inbundan platform at the top, the highest spindle of Chaste Manor.
Are there other butlers that are doing this, and that's the only way we could attract a new butler?
It is quite popular amongst the butling community. It is. And with that, I must go. I'm sorry. I've got my bags.
Mr. Grissom.
Slam.
Yes, Lord Chaste?
We must advertise butt-inbundan.
I'll call up the newspaper.
I'll call up the telegraph service.
Put in the classifieds. Two lords seek butt-bundan.
So I met this girl last week. You would not believe it. She had, she told me she's an Inbundaner.
Whoa.
You know what they say about Inbundaners, right?
Yeah, they do it up and down all day long.
Oh, I hadn't even heard that one. That's pretty good. That's
what did you hear?
Oh, no, I just heard that they... No, that was right, that they go up and down. Sorry, I forget.
So I met this fella, and I guess it turns out he's into Inbundan.
Is that right?
You know what they say about Inbundan, fellas.
I do. I know exactly what they say about Inbundan, fellas. That they like to dance all night.
What do you mean by that?
That's what I've heard. That's right?
I'm not sure why you only mentioned the dance part, not the bungee part.
It's because I'm just pretending. I don't know anything about this stuff.
You've never inbundaned?
No.
I remember the first time I inbundaned. Oh, man.
Oh, now you're going to rub it in my face. I see.
I didn't do it interpretive the first time. Don't worry. If I had, then I'd rub that in your face.
You didn't interpret?
I didn't into inbundan, no.
So tell me, how'd you get into it?
Well, when they start lacing that cord around your legs,
mm-hmm.
and you look down and you say to yourself, the minute I jump, the closer I am back to spring break in Cancun. And then you think to yourself, well, there's a lot of people watching. Do I want to just jump, bounce a few times, dip my face in the water, and get back to Tequila Poppers? Or do I want to make a show out of this?
What'd you say to yourself?
Where do you think this story's going? I interpretive danced my way down.
Man.
Where do you think this story is going? I want my cat back and I want it now. Okay, Peter?
You can have your cat back when you stop being such a bitch.
Oh my God, you did not use the B word with me, Peter.
Oh, I did.
Okay. Okay then.
You're going to have to accept that I used it, Todd.
Okay.
This cat's staying with me until you learn how to treat it right.
Mr. Freckles is not staying with you! That is my cat! I bought it from the shelter!
I've got a nice set of kitty boots just right here. I'm going to put them on.
You would not. You wouldn't dare put kitty boots on Mr. Freckles.
They're the nicest boots I've ever seen.
Oh my God, they're such nice boots! You don't put them on my cat! He will love you forever and then he'll want to stay with
you! Too late, Ari loves me.
Oh my God! No, Mr. Freckles,
so stop being such a bitch, Todd.
You stop using that word around our child!
Turn that frown upside down!
What?
Turn your frown upside down.
Now you're going to use cheap platitudes on me. Is that how it's going to be, Peter?
When it rains, it pours, bitch.
Okay. All right, fine. Is that going to be? I want to talk privately to Mr. Freckles for a little bit, maybe. Just talk a little bit to him and just tell him what's happening between us, because clearly I'm not welcome here anymore.
Fine. Meow. I'm going to make a Bloody Mary.
Go make a Bloody Mary, Peter!
Well, this is awkward, everybody. We all brought meat to the barbecue, and there's only one small grill.
I guess we'll just have to take turns with our meat.
Can my meat go first?
Well, I mean, I guess we should have a conversation about your meats. Is it low and slow cooking meat, or is it high and fast cooking meats? Because that'll... I guess the order might determine itself.
How about pork steaks?
I didn't bring any meat, and also I'm going through a divorce.
What? You didn't bring any meat?
You didn't... Well, and also, that divorce is definitely low and slow, so if we're going to get in line, you would be towards the end.
Well, the divorce also doesn't need the grill, am I correct?
True. True, that helps.
No, it doesn't need the grill, but we should still line up according to how our meat is going or our divorce is going.
No, you're right. I jumped the gun on bringing up that topic. I know normally we start with weather and logistics.
I mean, I brought hot dogs, but I'm going through a separation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I brought whale meat, but I've been single for a really long time, so I don't know where that puts me.
Well, I guess we're going to have to just combine these together. We have to have two different grading systems.
My pork steaks could have been done by now.
Oh, sure, Mr. Happily Married for 40 years.
Yeah.
Happily?
Go on.
Well, there's nothing happy about my marriage.
Oh, you're not happy being married to another lord?
No.
You don't enjoy being dual masters?
Can I just ask, how did the married man get to the front of the relationship line?
That hardly seems fair.
I got pork steaks.
His pork steaks do need to cook quickly, because they're steaks.
Whale's endangered. Just want to point that out.
Can we have an extended conversation about whether you guys prefer to eat your whale cooked, seared really quickly or cooked low and slow?
I mean, it depends on the whale. If you're talking a right whale, there's enough blubber there that'll really hold on for a good long while, and you do want to slow cook that one. However, if you're talking a beluga, that's lean whale, and if you cook that too long, it's just going to dry out.
All right, Maxine, Todd just made a really good point.
Right, what are we looking
you're
at
gonna
here?
You're going to get that whale blubber all over the grill, and then we're supposed to cook on it?
I feel like you guys are talking about my weight. Are you guys talking about my weight?
Is this why I'm still single?
Whether we're talking about it or not, we definitely don't want you going first, Sherry.
I don't want that sort of sadness on the grill when I get to my dogs.
No, absolutely not.
My marriage is in trouble.
Blubber and sadness, two things that do not belong on the grill.
I'm just wondering, Sherry, this is what, your fifth divorce?
Approximately, yes.
Guys, have you ever met one of her husbands? Has anybody ever met one of her husbands?
I had a Miller Lite with Jerry.
Listen, I'm going through some things, okay? So let's put my meat on the grill first. Actually, I didn't bring any meat, so let's put your meat on the grill and let me eat first. Going through some things, it's really hard.
I brought tuna. That could conceivably just be chopped up and served raw if you guys are into sushi.
Well, that's a real conundrum because it either needs to definitely go first, and you're just suggesting it can go raw so you don't feel like you're cutting.
Right.
Or you actually mean that. Which one is it?
God, you're just like my wife. We're on a trial separation.
Oh, in a trial separation, the epitome of fast and furious. You're just pushing your way to the front of this grill line.
Well, hey, I'm just saying. I mean, personally, I like grilled fish, but if you want it raw, we can do it raw. We have too much meat.
Hey, barbecue's still going. Dimitri's here with all his women. Orgy time, huh? No? No? I looked at the conversion chart. I'm at the back of the line, I'm pretty sure.
What's up with this slate floor? You had some nice hardwood.
Too cold. Had to replace it.
You went slate?
Yeah.
It's an interesting choice. It's almost like you're looking for some feet to bloody... Ah!
That's right, you can't run on the slate.
I tripped on the slate! The cold, cold slate!
He brought you down here too, huh? You lost both your feet? And he brought you down here in the basement?
Yeah.
I've been here for 6 months.
I've been here for a year.
I'm not sharing my oatmeal with a new guy.
It's comforting to see the different levels of healing that your stubs have gone through.
Greg, we gotta form a community if we're getting out of here.
No, I'm sorry. It's my oatmeal. I brought it in, and I'm keeping it.
We got so excited when we heard your actual feet walking on the floor above.
We thought maybe someone was here to rescue us.
Someone with feet.
So young, so naive.
But I see they just fell off. You just got fresh stubs.
I agree with these others. I think we all need to band together. I can tell by looking at your beard and the amount of healing in your stubs. You've been here for at least 2 years.
It's been going on 3 now.
Greg was the first.
That's right. You don't know what it's like being down here alone.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
Well, not entirely alone. The mice are pretty cute.
We're also here. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, we're here. Yeah.
Can I tell you that if it weren't for your two friends, I would be alone right now because that's how cold you're being to me?
You know what? I'm not even entirely convinced you're here. I mean, it's been a long time. I may just be hallucinating.
Hello, my friends. you can't leave now that you don't have feet. Now you have to be my friends. Do you guys... You can borrow
Charles, we're not your friends. This is illegal. Charles?
No. I'll let you borrow my four favorite flannels. I know how cold it gets down in this basement.
You sadistic bastard.
Charles, I'm the newest one. I guess I'll call you Charlie. I can only assume that you've got a favorite who you let out of this basement and eat more than just oatmeal.
Oh, they told you about my favorite, did you?
They didn't mention, but
we didn't say anything, Charlie.
I could tell.
No, we didn't tell him anything, Charlie. I swear to God, we didn't.
It wasn't us. He just must have guessed.
No.
I'm very particular about my rating system. You've just gone down to number 5.
Just.
Oh, thank God.
Due to being in. Because I'm so intuitive?
That's really a cold burn. There's only 4 of us.
Yeah, you're below the rats.
Thank you guys for all being part of Robert Melch's Loungesaurus International Tour. I just want to tell you, each and every one of you is very important to me. And I know it's been a very good...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you. And you've all been a very
take
important...
Take your shirt off!
I know, no. I've just saved that
no,
for the
really,
audience.
Take it off.
No, no, no.
Here's my panties.
Okay, all right. But what I want to say is the special Christmas thing, I want to say hi to all my backup singers and all the people who really made Robert Melcher.
Seriously, we will rip it right off your back.
Okay, all right, all right.
Get
all right.
Your kids out.
Listen, wow. I got gifts for all of you for Christmas, all right? Here they are.
Are they your nipples?
Bundled. No, no, it's aqua socks. I'm just going to let you know. Here, I'm just throwing them out into the crowd. Here you go.
I want less clothing, not more.
Let's I'm throwing go. This sock back on stage so okay. You can stick now your cock in it.
That's just rude. That's just extremely rude. That's
I
not
better
how we play.
See Ab soon.
It's time for another one of my favorites and your favorite.
Seriously, I've got a box cutter right here.
Aqua Socks for Christmas. It's a new song I wrote for all of you. And I'm just going to start
singing. Singing
now. But there's no reason. Hey, Robert
Melcher.
Does
sound like a good
fans.
Song.
Let's be respectful of his art. And all right,
well,
let's sing.
Okay.
Robert Melcher fans is some of the most rabid fans anywhere in the world. Give yourselves a round of applause. Give yourselves a round of applause. Yeah, just lovely, lovely people. I love the fact that you stalk me around all the time, and secretly I like
sing
it.
The fucking song.
All right. This is an acapella song, so hope you're okay with it. I'm just gonna provide Ronald here on the bass. Ronald Sharply, please. Yeah, Ronald Sharply. Well done, Ronald.
Take your shirt off, Ronald.
Yeah, see? Ronald is very, very, very self-conscious about his pepperoni
Pull
nipples.
Your pants down, Ronald.
No, not.
I'm not doing it. I'm just not.
All right, Ronald in his very high voice.
Take your shirt off.
All right. Come on now.
Let's see those man titties, Ronnie.
Can we get on with this song before they do something violent?
Well, Ronald stopped playing, so you're making him very nervous. And I got Ronald two pairs of aqua socks. For Christmas. I know he's
Look
cuckoo for those
walks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Melcher.
You're well, more than welcome, Ronald. All right, Ronald, let's get this thing underway. Aqua socks for Christmas. One, a two, and a one, two, three, four. Now. Aqua socks for Christmas. It's the only thing I want. Aqua socks for Christmas. Quit calling me a cunt. And I mean that to all you people. Telling me that you want me to take things off. You know what? Honestly, hold on. This is where I stop. Keep playing, Ron. This is where I sit and talk, take it down, break it down with
take
the
bass. All
right, no, I'm singing. We better see man titties. I'm trying to have a meaningful relationship with you. This is what lounge singers do. Do you think you really come here to listen to my singing and my lyrics?
No,
you come
here to see your tits.
I don't know why you keep saying that. I'm 60 years old. I've been doing this a long time. Who wants to see a 60-year-old man's tits?
We do.
Throw us your man bra.
Old man tits. Old man tits. Old man tits.
You stop it. You stop it right now. Stop it!
So I'm going to go ahead and leave an extra key right underneath the mat.
Just one? Just one extra key?
Yeah, they sent me down from the branch. This is my first time in the field, actually, so I only came with just the one extra. But I'm going to leave it here for you.
Thank you. Thank you. No one showed me that much kindness in a really long time. You see, I'm going through a divorce, and they didn't have any meat for me at the barbecue.
I can totally relate to that. In my family, we were never deemed quote meat worthy. Mm. Apparently, it went to the other side of town. So.
Yeah, don't I know what that's like? You're handsome.
What? No, I'm not.
Yeah, no, I mean, probably that scarring like has made people maybe not think you're handsome, but...
It makes me distinctive, that's what my mom says.
Yeah,
but
distinctive.
I don't know about handsome.
Yeah.
How's that divorce? I'm sorry.
No, it's...
I shouldn't have asked.
No, it's okay. It's my seventh at this point. I just fall in love so damn fast.
Your eyes
sparkle.
Well, it's the glint of generations of hoping for something better in there. That's what my dad says.
Guys, listen. I know...
What? Just spit it out,
Steve. Okay.
You're killing me here. Take off your shirt while you're at it.
Listen, the chains are killing us, okay? Bella Italy is fucking broke. We're fucking broke. We need some kind of shit that they do in the chains, like that fucking happy birthday song or fucking kids eat free or some shit like that. Or
we're just trying to make good pasta back here.
When you say chains, are you referring to chain restaurants?
Yes, like fucking chain restaurants.
Oh, that really confused me there. Right.
Yeah. Fucking chain restaurants.
I don't know about that lingo.
Like, no, because fucking chains doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah. Applebee's, like Applebee's, you would refer to as
chain. Oh, they got good nachos there. We should get some nachos.
Sucho! Sucho! You're eating nachos at fucking Applebee's?
Applebee's.
We have fucking Italian nachos here! Yeah. Bella Italy! Bella Italy is where you go!
I just marinara on chips.
Motherfucker! Sucho! Jesus!
TJ, I'd be more interested if you just take your shirt off while you're trying to pump up the troops.
God, okay, that's fine. Hey, listen, that's fair. That's fair. Here, Lucy.
Thanks, Dave.
Just gonna take this off. All right, look.
That reminds me, we need more bolognese.
Uh-huh. Correct. Correct. All right, listen, guys. I like some ideas.
Whoa. Your formerly semi-chiseled body just gave us all kinds of ideas.
Yeah. You know? Okay, all right. What are we going to do? Bring in customers of Bella Italy. We need fucking kids and shit. We only get one type of customer here. We only get one type of customer here.
Yeah, us.
Yo, yes. People like us.
And I've no, he actually means us.
I got an idea. A belly full of pasta.
Oh, I like that.
A belly full of pasta.
Bottomless belly of pasta.
Get it? Like your stomach.
Yeah.
Belly full of pasta.
Because
your stomach's really,
You eat a lot of pasta.
Kind
of
lumpy. We could get it like a pizza. It looks like your face.
Oh,
ooh, I like that. Yeah,
you think that'll work? You think that'll work? That sounds all right.
Sausage
all right. Good.
For the pimples.
That's good. Radio.
We probably wouldn't mention this to the customers, but I bet we could serve some appetizers that resemble your hemorrhoids.
Oh, all right, that sounds good. It would just people
like shrimp poppers or something.
Poppers.
I like that.
All right, that sounds
shrimp poppers
with marinara. Right. With marinara,
or maybe pizza rolls. Pizza rolls.
Yeah.
Pizza rolls also. That essentially looks like his hemorrhoids.
Wait, and, I want to go back to this.
Yep.
His pants are not off right now.
You know how when people get pregnant and then they do the sonogram and they get the little picture of it?
Yeah.
They do that for hemorrhoids too. He showed us a little picture. It was a little paper thing.
It was really sweet.
Yeah, that was the week you were sick and your leg worked on.
Right.
Yeah.
There's only seven of us who ever ate here. You know, we're pretty close. You're new, Linda, so that's all right.
Wait a second. If we got that good idea from one time shoving the camera up your ass, maybe there's other food ideas in there.
Well, shit, who's got a camera? Let's get this thing started.
I've got an old school Polaroid. Ooh, we just use
that's
that?
Gonna hurt, but let's just do it.
Hey,
all right,
grab that funnel off the shelf. We'll use that.
All right,
hold on. Is this extra virgin olive oil?
Oh, no, don't use that stuff. Don't use that stuff. Use the regular olive oil.
Yeah. Use the regular. What the fuck are you thinking? Use the regular olive oil.
Way more viscosity.
Jesus Christ. It's like you never shoved a camera up a man's ass before.
And a one,
Christ.
And a two, and a... There we go.
Okay. We are gonna make the restaurant succeed.
Right. You would think so, but we put a Polaroid in there. How are we going to get that photo out?
Shit, why didn't we think of this through? I'm so glad no customers come into this place.
Well, guys, it's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, no. You have a birthday?
Of course I have a birthday. Everybody has a birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Bill. Happy
birthday. As my basement full of stone
you're
people.
Still talking. Okay.
Well, look, I mean, I know all of you. Okay, look, I've been soul searching.
Oh, don't let me forget. I need to pick up milk later.
Yeah.
I've been forgetting that for days.
Oh, you know, you do. Your oatmeal just isn't nearly as good without it.
You know, right? Absolutely.
This but is you know, let's take a second.
You know, when I really want
to celebrate his oatmeal today.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, everybody?
I thought the blueberries were especially nice.
Guys, and I just want to thank you for sharing the oatmeal finally.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was really sad being here, just my two little stumps, you know, and not being for a really long time.
I feel like we've really grown into a wonderful, beautiful community.
Guys, when I froze your feet off and forced you to stay in my basement, I thought you would come to love me eventually.
Why is he still down here?
I don't know.
But then you found a different favorite, me, who helped get you in check. Did you enjoy your stevia and your oatmeal?
I did.
That was nice.
Yeah,
was
thank nice you touch. So much. It was really natural, well balanced.
Locale. Yeah.
I just want to say I love you guys, and I know I'm the newest guy here, but I love you. Oh no! You're supposed to love you.
You're supposed to love me, guys.
Not you.
This Stockholm syndrome is full of shit. You're all supposed to love me. I'm the one that drops the cold meat down. I keep you alive. You're supposed to.
Speaking really? Of which, Dennis, you cook on slate better than anybody.
Oh, isn't that amazing? It is amazing how that slate warms up. Yeah. I would never have believed it.
You know, you come down here. You come down here like you want to be our friends, but you didn't know. You didn't know about Dennis's cancer. You didn't know how it was on him. You didn't know. You didn't even, I don't think you even knew what his birthday is. You just come down here like some deadbeat dad and decide that you want to come into our lives again. Well, we have moved on.
Walking around on your feet like you own the place.
Yeah.
Do you know about Sherry's 8th divorce?
What? You got married and divorced while you were in the basement?
Yeah,
still no
times.
No.
She was afraid of my cancer, so that's why it ended.
Yeah, sorry, honey.
That's all right. We'll get back together.
Okay, cool.
Guys, you're supposed to put... You're all my 10th favorite now. I'm demoting all of you to 10.
Wait, how many of us are there again?
There's nine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead and line up for your passport photo. There you go. Sorry if I seem a little down. It's just that I found out some distressing news about my ex-wife.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But anyway, I mean, say cheese.
Cheese?
There you go. And then just shake this Polaroid for a minute.
Hey, here's your flyers. Is Sheila around? I mean, have you seen her?
I've heard some very distressing news about Sheila.
Yeah, I bet you have.
This photo doesn't look very good. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Hold on one second. Greg, get your ass back up there. Yep. We got to take another photo.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And fish it on out of his colon.
Just one second here.
And, oh, you're going to Italy. You're going to Italy? Nice.
Yeah, I love the culture.
All right, here you go.
Oh, thanks.
Perfect. And did you want to go with the extra package and get the feces cleaned off that picture?
Oh, you know, I gotta save money for the trip, so I can probably do it myself.
To be fair, we've got a member of our middle cast here today, so he would actually, he's perfectly qualified to do that now.
The fecal cleaner class? I would love that to happen.
Yeah, happy to take care of that.
Gerald, is it?
Yes, it is. Thank you. Thank you very much for using my full name. That's very polite.
Oh,
you're clearly a classy individual.
I just read the name tag.
Oh, well, fair enough. All right, give it here.
God, it's like he was born to do that.
You're good to go.
Thanks.
He was born to do that.
Oh,
no, literally, in fact, yeah. It's been in my family for generations. We are Gerald Shit Cleaner.
Oh.
The third.
Great.
Yeah.
You could say if that camera had been shoved up a pee hole, that would have been my job based on my family.
Oh, pee cleaner.
Mm.
We say urine.
My apologies. Anyway, my name's Dave Italygoer.
Dave Italygoer, that's really beautiful. Nice you must be uppercased.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shake your hand in that case. Here, let me bow.
Thanks. And there was an attractive woman working here a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Sheila, sure, yeah.
Yeah, can you give her this extra plane ticket?
We're going to get married
in Italy.
Thank you. Thank you for the privilege, sir. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Bye now.
Sheila always said she wanted to see Rome.
All right, listen, you hired the best. Robert Melch is going to turn around Bella Italy. So if that's what you want... That's what I'm going to do. I'll sing outside, and I'll twist this little sign around. I've got my bass player over there.
Hey, Mr. Melcher.
Yeah, introduce yourself.
I'm the bass player.
He's the bass player, exactly. No, they don't have names anymore in Robert Melcher's Ricking Orchestra and Lounge Singing Act. Lizzie, I'm going to be honest with you. I need a lot of money, so...
Oh, okay, well... the boss isn't here right now?
Where is he at? He's getting a passport photo?
Oh, here he comes back. Here, why don't you talk to him about it?
Sure, here he is. Guys, oh my God, let me tell you something. Don't ever go to the passport place. That place is hard. I think we did a bad idea by Hey, shove boss. My camera on my ass. I'm going to go lay down.
Boss, yeah, boss, boss.
Here. Yeah, boss.
Robert Meltzer's here, and you need to talk to him, and we all need to go out for a smoke break. Bye.
God damn it. God damn it. Okay, so you're Robert Meltzer, huh? Listen, I got some ideas for the restaurant. Oh, really? What kind of ideas would that be? Well, you know, the chain restaurants, they got all kinds of things. They got that happy birthday, so can you make a happy birthday song for us? I am familiar with happy birthday, so if you want, here's one just for you, buddy. Bell Italy, no place I'd rather be.
Get your tits out!
Who's that? It's a kid. What the hell? It's a kid from across the way.
She said, get your tits out!
What?
I heard music. I thought I'd try out this new restaurant. Get your tits out.
Listen, Robert Meltzer doesn't do that anymore.
Is this place open for business? I'd like to frequent this establishment and see some of this old man.
Yeah, I'd love to purchase some food if I can see your tits.
Okay, just do it. I'm paying you, Meltzer. Just do the damn thing. Listen, it's not in my contract. I'm here to make a happy birthday song. I'm not really about that.
This is great music. Do you guys have chicken parmesan and old man nipples?
We've got chicken parmesan. Come on in. Yeah, hey, there we go. People are coming in. See? Look, I'm doing a good job.
Take off your shirt, you geriatric. What's your tits?
Listen, I'm not doing this anymore. All right?
Officer, I've told you. We were all out on a smoke break, and we came back in, and this Meltzer character had his shirt and pants off in a room full of minors. And that's all that I saw, and that's all that happened.
Oh, yeah, it's not the way I hears it. I hear you employees was just shouting to take the shirts off all the times. That's pressure.
Maybe in past past times we did
spit
that.
Spit it out.
We most certainly did not in this case. It was the young people.
Okay, you weren't as encouraging them to take his shirts off? Because I got a lot of first eyes testimonials from... insider operations, huh?
They were definitely doing that, yeah.
Yeah, see, it's my snitches. Boom, boom. See, the ways I hear it, it's employees' unions are going around taking people's shirts off.
Can we have a conversation about unions?
Yes.
And I mean, I know that this is on tape and you've got the spotlight on me. Of course. And you won't give me any water until I tell you what you want to hear.
You making fun of my accents?
No. It's just that the unions is.
Yeah, the unions is. You're in the restaurants is unions.
Well, it's just that every time I flip on the Channel 5 news, 5 on your side, it's all I hear about is these unions is.
Yeah, they get a lot of radio play. Ziz. And TV's plays.
Ziz.
Detective Sixes.
Yeah?
I have a videotape of this man talking to Meacham. Here.
Oh, let me just put it in.
We can cover.
Well, I gotta turn the volume up. Hold on 1 second.
Hey, so listen. You've done a really good job here, but I'm afraid I'm gonna have to let you go. Listen, I understand. I'm just... I think I'm going to wind up taking up something else, like...
Stop that tape! That's clearly not my voice!
All right, yeah. Hey, detectives, I think you got some wrong tapes.
Yeah, I must have. Here's the one.
All right.
I mixed them up.
Good job using these old VHSs. Oh, I got the volumes down again. This is clearly you talking to me.
And one day, we're all going to...
All right, stop this tape! You just got a concert DVD.
It was a concert DVD? Yeah, well, that was out of my own personal possession.
Right, take this bag.
Oh.
All right.
Turns out I got nothing, except maybe this third tape.
Let's try this third tape.
Who controls the evidences room around here?
Boom, 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 boom. Seinfeld!
I'm going to watch this.
Hey, Jerry! Don't come in here again, Kramer. Listen.
No, listen, I got this plan. It's really great. It's really great. It's going to make us lots of money.
Oh, don't tell me it's a spa where you try and get inside.
Shh. God, this is your Seinfeld Supercuts tape.
Yeah, I thought you'd really like it.
I liked it. It was good. You should put that up on the YouTube.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get back to grilling this perp.
Fair enough.
Masters, I have returned. I'm sorry. My time with Imbruden was not working out. I am apparently terrible at dance. I would like to battle for you once more.
Ordinarily, of course, we would.
Daryl, we would love to have you, but unfortunately, we've filled your position.
No, don't say it. Don't say. Please don't. I can't bear it. No. Hello, everyone. So, sorry, Daryl, you're the old butler, huh? How was that working out for you? Hey, Master Chase, how you doing? Hey, Master, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Master Grissom. Master Grissom and Master Chase, the only two people in this whole place who are worthwhile, is Randy over here on base. And how's everything going with you, Daryl?
Not good at all. I came back to get my job.
Oh, working out with the Imbidin. Well, why don't we make this a trio? Why don't you dance on the table, take your shirt off? That's what you do, Daryl, now.
Oh, I call that set Fuck with Eric.
Yeah. Hey, I love that. That's exactly what I'm talking about when we all tease each other. I almost lost it when you were like, hey, why don't we let these two guys talk together? Alright, we gotta talk with him. Shitty setup, like, this is fucking good. I didn't understand what you guys wanted from the tape thing, like, I'm not gonna meet you. Right, what a bloody fucking
thank you.
That was fun.
And that's our show. Thank you to the Away team. Thank you to Drew Kirsten, Molly Chase, Eric Heiberg, Dan Jaquette.
Eric Tigger Heiberg.
Eric Tigger Heiberg.
I'm going to make that stick now.
That's going to be a thing?
Sure.
Okay. Ellen Jaquette, Dan Jaquette, and Sean Dillon. It's too bad that Cliffy Z couldn't make it. But you can see the Away team at Huge Theater. That's Huge Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota, uptown, at 31st in Lindale.
10:30 Saturday night.
10:30 Saturday nights. Go to hugetheater.com for more information. And you can check out their Facebook page at facebook.com/awayteamimprov.
You can see me in the Friday night stage match this Friday, September 20th. And then future dates also. The Friday night stage match at the Brave New Workshop Student Union, 26th and Hennepin. And you can see Matt and I and the ladies from Shortcakes in our new supergroup, Cake Batter. The first show is on Sunday, September 22nd, in the Improv Go-Go at Huge Theater, 31st in Lindale.
All of that was really good and strangely staccato. That's right. It's at 8 p.m. on Sunday nights on the 22nd and the 6th of October, our first 2 days. Then we have another date in November. You can also see me at Stage Match this coming Friday, and I'll be coaching a couple of dates coming up here pretty soon, too. I will also be performing the three upcoming Sundays, the 22nd, the 29th, and the 6th. At Improv A Go-Go, not just with Cake Batter, but also with Drew Kirsten in a duo called Drew and Matt, which is cleverly titled.
He was just here.
He was just here on the Away team and in my group. What?
As always, go to my YouTube channel. There's lots of Minimum Fare episodes up and lots of music, including my band Misery Street. Also, speaking of music, I host an open mic at the Chatterbox in Minneapolis on Tuesday nights. Sign-up starts at 8:30. We go till 12:30.
Can people who do stand-up comedy or do other acts do that stuff too?
You know, it's a very eclectic place. We get poets sometimes and lots of strange instruments. I haven't seen a stand-up yet, but I run it.
Right, so you let people do that?
I'm not opposed.
And when you said poets, why did you put air quotes? You can also check us out on iTunes. Please subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. It helps us out a lot. Tune in next week when we're going to have another group on this show. But until then, as always,
praise Jaibosh.